the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, she climbs the flowery mountains or the hills and by the shore.
True or false, for a set of Arizona State Parks passes, Dr. James Douglas, the gentleman that founded Douglas, Arizona, and invented a new way to extract copper from ore, was originally Canadian. If you think that's true, text TRUE or T to 411-923-F or FALSE for FALSE, and we'll pick a random right winner at the end of this programming segment and send you to any one of Arizona's 35 state parks. We're featuring Southern Arizona, so I thought I'd highlight Karsher Caverns this weekend. Today, at 9:45 a.m. and 12:20, right after lunch, they have sign language tours. So if you're hearing impaired, that's a great opportunity. They've got a sign language tour guide to take you through the Karsher Caverns, just one of Arizona's great 35 state parks. You can actually download the app and plan your Arizona staycation around a state park. It's also Country Thunder this weekend. This picture is why I don't go. Can you imagine sitting in that mess on the freeway?
Nothing I want that bad.
No way. But tonight, Arizona's Dierks Bentley does take the main stage at 10 o'clock. And tomorrow night, Chris Stapleton takes the stage at 9. Amanda and I would go if we weren't generally already asleep by those times. But we're talking trains with Dr. Dean, and we're going to jump into Arizona. As we established earlier, the rails hit the northern Arizona first, coming across from state.
Actually, they hit the southern part of the state first. In the 1870s, they come through the Southern Pacific Railroad.
The north. I gotcha. You were saying northern Arizona and southern Arizona. The north versus the south.
Oh, no, sorry. You're right. Sorry. The north gets the Transcontinental Railroad first, but in the 1870s, the railroad comes to southern Arizona
first.
The Southern Pacific Railroad. It actually comes from California, work its way, gets to Yuma, and then there's not a – they don't have a charter. They don't have the permission, so to speak, to cross at Yuma. But the railroad – that's not going to stop the railroad company. And so they kind of snuck out onto the bridge piers, and they started to – there's only like four guys down there guarding it from the troops. And so they couldn't really stop the railroad company. So they laid the track at night and got it across the river and then continued on up to Maricopa and Casa Grande. As it comes from that way. And then later, it'll start over in New Mexico and head the other way along the 35th parallel to come in and join up with it at Casa Grande. And so that's how we get kind of our early southern Arizona. The state territorial legislature was very involved in this. They kind of helped guide where it would go. And again, appropriating the right-of-way or the pathway that the railroads are going to take. Because then again, they want to find something that's a flat grade as much as possible or that land that's developable that they can lease or sell or something like that. And so we get our Southern Pacific Railroad comes in about the 1870s or so. Later we'll get one to the north, but I think we'll talk about that after the break.
And when you're building a railroad, you're talking about flats. So there's a lot of area in Arizona. They could move pretty quick building it.
Right.
There's areas you hit and you got to start picking rock. That kind of slows things down a little bit.
Right. Well, that kind of explains why we've never really had a good solid railroad between Phoenix and Flagstaff. If you've ever driven that, just the I-17 road itself has several big dips and climbs and whatnot. You can't span that with bridges. You can't blast through it. And so that's a very difficult way. So to the fringes and the perimeters is where the railroad goes. But we go east-west. And that's also because more of the economic development is east-west. Take things that we have out here, mining particularly, that raw materials that send it back east. You mentioned about Pella windows. Everybody that comes out here has to have windows on their houses. Well, all that stuff is made back east, put on a railroad, and come back. In fact, in your Sears Roebuck catalog in the 1890s, you could buy a whole house. And it gets put on a train car and gets delivered to you out here.
The first manufactured home.
Manufactured homes, that's right. They don't call them mobile homes because they just move once. But yeah, in fact, there's still a few of those around people will come across. And you can tell if you guys are inside one, when you get up into the attic of them and you look at the ends of the boards up at on the top plates and stuff, they'll all have number stamps on them because they come with like an IKEA set of instructions to put them together.
So you could get a house on it, but it was also the main part of transportation to the West up through the 40s still.
Right. The railroad traffic or trail travel, it shortens the amount of time. You could go east to west in a day or two, a few days, a week or so, as opposed to getting on a ship and going all the way around, because this is pre-Panama Canal. So going all the way around or even through the Panama Canal is still going to take you a month and a half, 2 months, whereas you could get to east and west very easily. And so that makes commerce and business faster, more efficient. That lets the exchange of goods and services, and it just really changed. And then travel just explodes because everybody wants to see the West. And what better way to see it than through the windows right through the West, just cutting out and seeing the great expanses, especially in Arizona.
At what point did they add passenger cars?
Passenger cars were already a phenomenon of railroading in the East. So as soon as they figured out that people want to come west, and that's what puts the stagecoaches out of business, because you could put a train car on with 50, 60, 70 passengers as opposed to a coach with six, and then you don't have that much people. So then more hotels, more restaurants, more.
Talking trains with Dr. Dean, Grand Canyon University history professor. And the answer to the trivia question is true. James Douglas, founder of Douglas, Arizona, was a Canadian. We'll take everyone that answered true and pick a random right winner and send you a set of park passes to one of Arizona's 35 state parks.